You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings fans, happy Wednesday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato. As always, glad to be here as your host, sharing with you all sorts of news about the Los Angeles Kings. This is the greatest time of year, if you ask me, because we are getting into the real fun part, because hockey's actually coming back. On today's show, I want to talk with you a little bit about the brand new news about Cal Peterson, because we have him locked up for the next couple years. We've also got some TV news, as well as some continuations from our conversations earlier this week with Robin from Locked On Coyotes and Jason from Locked On Ducks. We're going to continue looking at some of the things we've been talking about all week long with prospects and with hockey and diversity and everything else cool that happens to come up. But Cal Peterson is the big news because today, in advance of the training camp, that's the word for it, training camp starting, the Kings have announced that Cal Peterson has been signed to a new deal. He is getting a 3-year contract extension, which is going to kick in next year. This was the final year of his deal. It's a 3-year extension with an average annual value of $5 million. So that is going to tie up Cal Peterson, officially make him the goaltender of the future for the Kings. If you didn't already know, you know now exactly what is going on. It is, of course, a hefty bump from what he's getting paid right now. His cap hit right now is $858,000 and some change. So it is a big bump. It is a bit risky for the Kings, but the goaltending market is what it is. It is always a little bit of a crapshoot. And at the end of the day, we need to lock in Cal Peterson. We couldn't go into this season or go through this season not knowing that we are assured to have him for the foreseeable future, because the Kings don't have another plan at this point. Cal Peterson is, they have put their eggs in that basket. And we've got to go with it. Jonathan Quick, of course, after this year, has 1 year left on his contract. So he is done at the end of the 2022-23 season, will be an unrestricted free agent after that. Remains to be seen what the organization is going to do with him. I could easily see a situation that's sort of Tuukka Rask-ish of signing a 1-year extension kind of thing, but I think a lot of what happens with Quick in the future is going to depend on A, what he wants to do, because he may still want to continue playing. He may still think that he can and should be a starter somewhere, or he may be, you know, willing to accept less money, less position, less everything to stay with the team that he's been with his whole career. Or the Kings could just say, you know what, we're done. The Kings have enough goaltending in the pipeline that, you know, maybe by 2023-24, a player like Matt Vallalta or Jacob Ingham is going to be ready to come up as the backup. But all of that is speculation for the future. But what we do know is that we now have 3 years of Cal Peterson. At the end of his deal, 2024-25, he will be unrestricted free agent and in a position to either move on or really get a long-term deal with the Kings. It is good to see that they gave him a little bit more of a bridge deal. 3 years, I don't think, is bad, especially knowing the wealth of goaltending talent the Kings do have in the pipeline. It doesn't commit them to someone long-term in case, you know, something newer and better comes up. But most likely, this is really positioning Cal Peterson to cash in with his next deal and maybe sign a longer-term deal. He is 26 years old, so he's not a young kid. He's not, you know, Carter Hart age. He has been around for a little while after, you know, his college career. So I think it's a good thing. Is it a little bit of an overpay based off of his body of work? Maybe. He had 35 games last season. He has a total of 54 regular season career NHL games, as well as 3 seasons with the Reign. So it's not like we're signing a guy who has a bajillion games of experience, but at the same time, like I said, we don't really have other options. Cal Peterson is it for the Kings right now, especially knowing that There aren't really great starting goalies out there on the market. There aren't really great 1B goalies out there on the market. And you've got to dance with the one that brung you, or whatever the saying is. Out of curiosity, Carter Hart is kind of the, not a comparable, I would say, but in a similar sort of situation to Cal Peterson in terms of being a young goaltender, essentially being asked to step in at a starting role. Of course, we all know that Philadelphia has had a bunch of issues, but, you know, whatever. Hart has also had a little longer in terms of tenure with Philadelphia, or in terms of games played. But Hart got a three-year deal back in August of this year, with an average cap hit of $3.9 million. So a little bit more experience, a little bit less money, but I think the Kings are also in a position to be able to hand out that money to Cal Peterson, guarantee that he stays there, and really commit to their goaltender of the future. So that's exciting news that we now have that that one out of the way, and that we go into the season knowing for sure that Cal Peterson is going to be here for the next couple years, at least, as the Kings hopefully make it back to the playoffs, hopefully really get their act together this year. So congratulations to Cal Peterson, both on his new contract and on his really rad helmet, if you haven't seen it, or his mask, I guess you could say. If you haven't seen the paint job on it, go look it up on Twitter, on wherever, because it is really good. The other news I have for you is about television, because the preseason schedule has been released and the Kings are going to be featured on TNT. It's the game on September 30th that's going to be taking place in Salt Lake City against the Vegas Golden Knights. The rebooted Frozen Fury in Utah is going to be on TNT, so we will get some national coverage there. That is, of course, in addition to all of the other games that are going to be on ESPN, ESPN Plus, Hulu, and also TNT throughout the regular season. The downside of the TNT games is a little bit of what I expected, which is that you're going to be able to watch them on TNT, obviously, on the television. You can also watch them on the Watch TNT app, apparently, and also streaming on the website. But you need to have a TV service provider in order to do that. So for those of us who have cut the cord, not really sure how that works. We'll have to investigate a little more, but that may be a source of some consternation potentially for viewers who haven't, who have gotten rid of their cable. Uncertain right now as I'm looking at this, uncertain as to how that's gonna impact those of us who still want to watch games. But we do have some preseason action on national television, Kings versus Golden Knights in Utah. So that's going to be fun, hopefully. And hopefully the Kings will actually do well in that game. So that's all the news that's fit to talk about on the show right now. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit more with Jason from Locked On Ducks and Robin from Locked On Coyotes. If you missed yesterday's show, we had a little bit of a conversation about diversity in hockey. This is, of course, Hispanic Heritage Month, and Jason and I talked about players who are of Latinx descent, a heritage in the NHL, and what we're seeing in terms of junior hockey, youth hockey, and increasing the diversity of participants there. So we have a little bit more of that conversation for you, and then talked a bit also with Robin about the same stuff. So that is coming up right next on the show. First, though, DirecTV is here to help you fix all of your TV problems, because chances are you've got about like 7 different remotes. You have 14 different apps to watch things on. Some devices only play some apps. Like, it's just very frustrating. And we now have a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. The best part is that there is no annual contract, so stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. No complications, no fuss, no muss, no new remote control, just all from your computer. So you can learn more at directtv.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. Also, we've got Built Bar, because if you're watching all these sports on TV, chances are you also want food. And Built Bar is great food. Not only does it taste good, not only does it taste like a candy bar, but it is also healthy for you. Built Bars are the protein bars that are all around tasty, all around healthy, and just a great time for everybody. They are high in protein, high fiber, low sugar, low carbs, and like I said, super tasty. You can get great flavors like German chocolate, strawberry, mint brownie, and many more. Make sure you go to built.com, check out all of the flavors available, all of the different products and varieties they've got. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, now, like I said yesterday on the show, I talked with Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks about players in professional hockey who are of Hispanic or Latinx descent. We don't have many of them, but some of them are very familiar names to us, like Austin Matthews, who grew up playing hockey in Arizona and said that if it wasn't for the Coyotes, he wouldn't be playing hockey. So, you know, there are some interesting characters, interesting backgrounds, and a lot of work being done to help increase participation and awareness of hockey in these communities. So we're going to finish out today talking a little bit about what our teams are doing or could be doing more of to help reach out and diversify the sport.
So I do want to wrap up. We'll just kind of like off the cuff here and talk about broadcasting, because I did want to bring that up. Both of our teams have had different takes on how to do hockey broadcasts in Spanish. Your team, the LA Kings, has taken a more proactive approach with one of the best guys out there. He's super nice. Yeah. Your interview with Francisco, super cool. If you want to tell them about it.
So the Kings do have Francisco X. Rivera doing Spanish language broadcasting for the team. It's not every game. It's just a limited number of games. But I can envision a world where more and more of those games are going to get broadcast. I spoke with him last year on the show. If you're on the Twitters, I'll try to find the link and post it, but got to talk to him a lot about his path to being a broadcaster and a lot of the good work that the Kings are doing in Mexico with youth hockey players there, and how they even managed to find ways to keep doing it even during the pandemic. Like, they literally got on Zoom with all these little kids in Mexico City and like Derek Armstrong and were teaching like fundamental skills. It's really cool to see. You know, we all talk trash about our teams a lot. At least I can speak for both of us whenever I say that when our teams disappoint us, we will be vocal about it. So it's really cool to see the Kings doing something like that and investing in a community that they don't have to. They could easily not do it, just like every other team. But, you know, in terms of broadcasting, Francisco X. Rivera is a great guy, a great broadcaster. I speak like Spanish for a 5-year-old, and even even me watching his calls, like, you can just tell the enthusiasm, the excitement he has for it, the passion he has for the game. It's just really neat, and the Kings care about this.
Try watching him live.
Yeah,
you know, the enthusiasm that he has, not only for the Kings games but the Ontario Reign games. Mm-hmm. This is not to be, you know, let go. He was the first Mexican born to do an English language game in either the NHL or the AHL, and did it for the Ontario Reign for not one but two games. Mm-hmm. He was so good the first time they brought him back second time, and to hear Rivera with Darrell Evans, that was entertaining as hell.
Yeah, he was really good, and I hope that he gets. I know that the Reign have a broadcast team in place for, you know, future seasons, but I really hope he gets to come back because it was a lot of fun, and I think helps bring hockey and the AHL in particular to a whole different market.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see, just for the record, an Ontario Reign game featuring Josh Schaefer and I forget who his new color analyst is, but I want to see Francisco Rivera in that booth too, just the three of them. That would be entertaining.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. And I also will shout out Jesus Zarate, who for one game, and this is my both joy and disappointment, it took the Ducks 25 years to have their first Spanish language broadcast, but that one broadcast they did was a classic. They were due to do it this coming season, but pandemic, of course, happened, so we couldn't bring it back. And Ducks, if you're listening, I hope to God you bring back Jesus Zarate for Dia de los Muertos night at the Ponda this coming season. You've got to make it happen. It took 25 years, one game. Bring him back for another game. In fact, bring him back for more than one game. It's good that they're doing stuff now. I'm just sad it took this long, and I hope it's for more than one game per season. And to your point, the Ducks have started, finally, to do some stuff for Mexican Heritage. They've already put in some time and money to help those inner city youth out in the areas like East LA, like not East LA, but the Latino areas in Orange County, where we're starting to see that more. We need more of that, especially in Orange County. There are those neighborhoods like Santa Ana, parts of Anaheim, where there's a very heavy Latino base. So that's what I want to see more of. The Kings are already doing a good job of that. So Ducks, time to get on it. Just saying. But I feel like we had a good conversation about that.
We did. There's one other thing I wanted to add, because I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Al Montoya, we mentioned him. Mm-hmm. Goaltender, had his great career. Actually just got hired by the Stars pretty recently.
That's right.
I don't know the title off the top of my head, but it's like a community development kind of role. And I know from people who I know who know Al Montoya, that he is so passionate about that. He is so passionate about building hockey in the Hispanic community. And I was really glad to see him get that role, because I know it's something that he has been searching for, to find a team that is on board with him and on board with this mission. So shout out to the Dallas Stars, I guess, for also helping to build hockey in Dallas.
Well, absolutely. Like, again, those Sunbelt areas, because of them, we got some more Latino-based players. So yeah, this was good.
Yep.
It's important to me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we had this.
Awesome.
So thanks for coming.
Gladly.
Really awesome. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm curious, how many listeners do we have out there that are of Mexican descent? We want to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. What did you think of this conversation? What did you think, should both of our teams do more? Are they doing okay? We want to hear from you guys. So if you want to, chat at us, hit us up on Twitter. Sarah's at Right Said Sarah. That's WRITE Said Sarah with an H.
Let me know what you think the Kings should be doing more of to help, grow the game, because that's the best part about hockey, that and winning. And the Kings aren't doing a lot of that. So
May as well grow the game.
Yes.
And you can find me on Twitter at StimpyJD.
There is more coming up right after this, but first, betonline.ag is back and better than ever. All eyes are, of course, on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. We've got baseball in the playoffs. We've got hockey coming back, basketball coming back, and BetOnline is here for you all the time. They've got a new updated site and interface. You can find more odds, props, and contests. So BetOnline.ag continues to be your number one source for everything football and beyond. You can head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 100% welcome bonus. That is double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON. So from football to basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag, it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports.
We pointed out that if it wasn't for the Coyotes, then we wouldn't have Austin Matthews. Or how did you put it, for all you Toronto fans?
Well, so the point that I was making was, I feel like there is a certain segment of hockey fandom, particularly many people in the hotbed of hockey in Toronto, who look at any Southern team, any Sunbelt team, but especially Arizona, knowing all the issues that they've had over the years. And they say, get rid of Arizona, move them to, Quebec City, or move them to wherever, fold the team. Why is there even hockey in Arizona? Blah, 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 which we all know is BS, because there should be hockey in Arizona. But Austin Matthews has said that if he hadn't grown up watching Coyotes games, he wouldn't have gotten into hockey. So this team that, many people in traditional markets want to fold is what also delivered unto the Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews. Yep. So chill out.
It delivered a top 10 player, according to the Locked On NHL hosts.
Not only that, but the Maple Leafs, this last draft, in the second round, drafted another kid out of Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Yes.
So take that, mean fans.
I love it.
That's my message to the public. Yes.
And again, I am super excited for what the Coyotes have in store for a future arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd visit it.
I think, I'm not sure if I told this to you guys, but they want to essentially make the entertainment district in Tempe modeled after the Deer District.
Yeah, buddy, fear the deer. That's right.
That's what they want out of it when they build this thing.
They did it smart there. They rebuilt the whole Mecca thing over there. They got Fiserv. They have where the, oh gosh, I'm blanking on their name. Help. The AHL team in Milwaukee.
The Admirals?
Thank you, the Admirals. Why am I blanking on that? Where the Admirals? I'm lost now. Where they play is across from the Deer District, and they totally revamped it. Where even the Admirals, I remember this time, where they draw more fans now. Wow, I'm lost now. Point being, I can't wait.
Yeah, obviously this is going to be several years away, but it's not even approved yet. But
hey, look what it did to LA.
Yeah, it seems like at least there's a hopeful plan, and it's not just a, like, I don't know, we'll put the team somewhere. Like, it seems like there's actually wheels in motion.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, the difference the thing I tell a lot of people about this, the difference is they're working directly with the city. It's 100% mm-hmm. privately funded mm-hmm. versus the previous plan was trying to work with Arizona State. And that just completely backfired.
Yeah.
A lot of things that they did, they tried to work with public funds or some kind of public entity. This one is like, all right, we're just going to pay the city of Tempe for this plot of land, pour millions of dollars into it, and build it up.
Yeah.
I mean, if they build it, they will come.
Wrong exactly. score. It's okay. Because that applies to as many sports as you want it to apply to. It applies to anything you want to apply to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can apply to anything that we want.
I like it.
Yeah, it's the Blues Clues of hockey planning.
One thing that I should let people know is, looking at here, all ticket proceeds benefiting the Arizona Coyotes Foundation in support of the Coyotes Youth Learn to Play programs, including the Little Howlers and Little Laytons. 50-50 raffle will also be there, supporting the Arizona Kachinas girls hockey program.
Awesome.
Best youth jerseys ever.
I love it.
Well, of course. That's how it's going. So, I mean, like, that's an awesome thing, you know, the Coyotes are doing. Obviously, they're always in trying to support the ground level, trying to get as many people to get into the sport of hockey as possible. Side note on that is they put in a new one called the Growlers Program, you know, just to have the support the anybody of any age of LGBT to learn to play hockey.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
And they're doing a lot of things this next month for Hispanic Heritage Month. They really love their community, and I love it.
That is it for today. Thanks to Jason and Robin both for talking with me. We'll be back tomorrow with a little bit more of a prospect roundup and, of course, an eye to whatever happens in Kings training camp as we get ready for that to open up. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. Jason is on Twitter at StimpyJD. Robin is at RobLeano1 on Twitter. Of course, Locked on Ducks and Coyotes available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as this show. Make sure you're following or subscribe to this show so you never miss a future episode. And keep your ears out for more Kings news here on Locked on Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.